time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is David Fodor along with Ken Simon. And tonight we'll have no guests. We've got a lot of news to bring you on the KHSA updates and some other things. Also, obviously, give our COVID updates as we normally do every week. And then a little bit more to get into as far as the show whenever we get rolling here. Again, first off, it is a beautiful Wednesday evening here, and rain in the forecast for it tomorrow and Friday, I think. But I do have a few announcements would like to make. Would like to mention that if you are going to vote, and you're going to vote at the courthouse, I want to give you some times here. You can go for the next, I think, 2.5 weeks, Monday from 10 to 6, all other days from 9 to 4:30. Again, And Thursday is 9 to 12. So tomorrow, if you want to go vote tomorrow at the courthouse, it'll be 9 to 12. All other days are 9 to 4:30 with the exception of Monday, and that's 10 to 6. That is the day they're going a little bit longer on Mondays to give folks that work a chance to get in and vote. Now, that is a, from what I understand, I'm talking to my wife. She's working down at the clerk's office as one of the, what are they called?
Electioneers?
Yeah, well, election officers.
Election officers.
And they're taking care of the walk-in vote. And this is basically voting for anything that's going to be on the June 21st. Is that?
23rd.
23rd election. So the June 23rd election, we'll remind you guys, that will be at one polling place. So it may be packed. And if you don't want to get rid of the crowd, best thing to do is go in to vote at the courthouse. And again, that is it opened up this Monday, and it will roll for, I think, 3 weeks. And again, Mondays 10 to 6, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 to 4:30. And tomorrow, Thursdays, will be 9 to 12. So they are there waiting for you guys to come in and vote. I think so far there's been several have voted, and again, they're also doing the paperless ballot. Not sure when the cutoff for that is. It's probably soon, if not already passed, for the absentee ballot, but you can go in and vote, and I would advise you to do so.
Yeah, and actually, it's a great idea in so many ways to set this up like this, yeah, to allow people to go in and start voting early, whether it's through absentee or even just showing up and doing that, as opposed to it being a huge crowd,
yeah,
on Election Day. It's unfortunate that we had to postpone the May primary into June, but very important. Everybody needs to get out and vote. You know, your vote does count. A lot of people say, oh, it doesn't necessarily count, it's just the May primary. No, it does count. All the votes count, but the offices that are up, obviously, the U.S. Senator, definitely a big one in House of Representatives, both of those.
Board of Appeals, I believe.
Yeah, some
State Senate. Yeah, but, you know, there's
representative
a, yeah, there's
as well,
a lot so of that, good things that you can get out, yeah, and vote for. I mean, it is his primary election. Obviously, if you are a Democratic candidate, Republican candidate, there, depending on your votes, to kind of set things for the fall election. And from what I understand from the workers is that this is a new system that's put into place. It is very secure. And so I do want to point that out to you guys out there. This is probably, they say, one of the most secure types of elections that Kentucky's done. So, you know, get out and use that, exercise that right that you have, and get out and vote. Again, those times, we'll read them again before we go off the air. But again, it's very, you know, do your patriotic duty and get out and voice your vote. Not telling you how to vote, not asking you how to vote, but get out and exercise your option to vote.
Well, to me, when you vote, you have a right to complain,
yes,
about the system.
Yes.
No matter if the person you voted for gets in or does not get in, you still have expressed yourself by voting, and therefore that gives you the right to, you know, complain or applaud, however you want to look
don't
at it.
Don't complain if you don't vote, right?
That's exactly right, because your vote definitely counts.
Yes.
Again, it's too many people have fought for that right for us to vote to be dismissive, even if it is the May primary. I've actually missed one vote in my entire life, and that was when I was in college and missed a May primary and completely forgot to get an absentee ballot that time, and it really bothered me, to be honest with you.
No, when you're that age, sometimes you do forget stuff. You know, I mean, you just got other things on your mind, your way to school, and I'm sure a lot of young voters who, and I voted, I can't remember the time I haven't voted, but I know when I lived in Richmond going to Eastern that I don't remember not voting, but I think I may have even drove home to do so. But, you know, that is your duty as an American, is get out and vote. And again, if you don't want to, I'm not one to complain a lot, but sometimes I do. That's the best way to do it, is get out and vote. If you don't like something, vote. If you do like something, get out and vote. So it works both ways.
No matter how you look at it.
That's exactly right. Now I'll give you some COVID updates.
So there's actually over 10,000, almost 10,500 cases, confirmed cases in the state so far. 265 new coronavirus cases today. Again, those numbers.
That's up.
You know, it is up. You know, at times we see them down in the 100, 140, 120, around that area, and then all of a sudden then we're back up over 200 again. Eight new deaths that have occurred because of this. Again, it is still out there. It is still relevant. People continue to need to practice the social distancing, the hand washing, wearing your mask, that kind of thing, in order to keep safe. And what's interesting, too, is that obviously now that things have opened up a little bit more, and even though there are guidelines for businesses to establish and everything, it still goes back to you have to protect yourself and protect others under those circumstances. I think far too often, and we've mentioned this as well, and I think even probably in the larger cities, I think people are still like, well, okay, it's kind of passed, it's safe. People are almost ready to ignore it and kind of push it to the side a little bit because we have been cooped up, and obviously with the way the weather's been over the last several days, you know, nice to be able to get out and kind of socialize in a sense and to go to those places that haven't been open. And unfortunately, it's still a threat. It still occurs, and people still need to, you know, continue to wash your hands and practice all of those guidelines. Again, we are not out of the woods by a long stretch.
And I fear that we're going to have another peak crisis because maybe we've opened up too soon. I think eventually you have to open up, but please continue to practice the safer work protocol that's out there. But I believe the number that you read, over 10,000, I think it's up over 1,000 since last week, if
True.
I'm not mistaken. So those 100 and some a day add up significantly.
Right.
And when you do have a double number, 260, I think the plateau mark was around 120 to 140. The 260 number is about 100% higher today than it was last week at this time. We were still at the plateau. This is a little bit of a spike today. Now, this is getting close to the time when we talk about our first open up. You're talking about 2 weeks in, and you're now seeing a little bit of an uptick. And I'm not saying that's because we were out more and doing other things. And when I came out tonight, I thought this one thing, drove by some gas stations. You can tell things are opening back up because the gas prices are going back up. Supply and demand is back in effect, so more people are out doing things because the gas prices, like I said, are back up. I liked it when it was $1.25, $1.30 when we were all at home. Now everybody's out and going. It's creeping back up to that mark where we were before, and I'm not saying that's not a good thing, but I don't like paying those higher prices.
Well, and obviously,
being selfish.
Among other products,
yeah.
Obviously the prices have gone up. And what's unfortunate, too, with the coronavirus, the governor ended up mentioning today a young person had passed away earlier, a child in a sense, and under those circumstances, you know, that's unfortunate. A 9-month-old girl, even though that was not the primary cause, they say it was a contributing factor. within that. So, again, a nine-month-old in Hopkins County. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers are with that family. Very difficult under those circumstances. Again, it's still out there. Who knows how a nine-month-old ends up getting that, a family member. You know, again, you've been out, maybe grandparents, right? You come in and you want to see the baby that you've not necessarily been able to see for months, and people still asymptomatic, yep. Right? That's still a real threat as well. Just because you're not showing symptoms does not necessarily mean that you can't transmit, you know, this to someone else. So that's unfortunate, again, that's occurred to that family.
Also, was it last week, I believe, tests were available here in Powell County. I don't know how well it was publicized, but you could actually go for a free test. I think that was last week, I believe. Don't know what's still going on with that down there or not. But, you know, that's one thing we talked about here before. When the numbers are down, people get out and do more. And we believe, both you and I believe, the numbers here in Powell County are low because we haven't seen a lot of tests or not a lot of people have been tested. You know, we had the flu really hard here, you know, in December, January, February. You know, who's to say some of that wasn't COVID? I know there have been a lot of people tested positive with the antibody test, which they do say there's a lot of false positives with the antibody test. So you kind of take that with a grain of salt. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if there's more people affected here than what the numbers say. Again, we're still at one. But I do think probably the real number is higher than that. We just haven't had a lot of tests here in the county. And again, I do think it's still a serious problem. And here in a few minutes, we're going to read some of the KHSA updates on the COVID. We'll also give you some board information as well as far as that goes. We're going to step away from a break here from PCSE and Sports Live, excuse me, whatever this is, with Dave and Ken here after the break here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hello, this is Daryl Billings for Tanner Chrysler Products here in Stanton. As a native of Powell County, and I was taught a long time ago that nothing was better anywhere than it was right here in our hometown. That still holds true today when you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. Buying local not only stimulates our own economy, but enhances the very foundation of our community. I invite you to shop Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram before you leave to purchase a vehicle. I can assure you that you will be treated fairly and squarely right here at home.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like PhoneSmart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless knows community and connectivity are key. That's why they've created the Appalachian Wireless Advantage Plan. The Advantage Plan caters to the wants and needs of its customers. Flexible contract lengths, more opportunities to upgrade your device, lower upfront cost for a new device, while also having the possibility of lowering your monthly bill. The Advantage is choosing Appalachian Wireless. But like the Advantage Plan, the choice is yours. Go in today to an Appalachian Wireless retail location for more details. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless.
The emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine is faster, closer, and better. When an emergency strikes, we are right down the street and ready to help. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on-site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is an accredited chest pain center and level 4 trauma center. You can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. Choose the emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine. Faster, closer, better.
Welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. We're going to stray a little bit here. Again, with all this going on out in the world, in the United States, we're going to stray a little bit here and not talk sports, but we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Minnesota. So, first of all, we want to send our thoughts out to the family of the gentleman who passed away, I guess, what, last Monday?
Monday, yeah.
So it's been, we didn't hear a lot about it last week. We didn't really, it wasn't big time news until all the video surfaced. Now the protest and rioting has taken place. The last couple of days has been a little bit better as far as the rioting is concerned, but the looting has got crazy. But when you get back to the officers involved in Minnesota, all four were immediately fired by the chief, which I respect that decision gratefully. The one officer was charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. The other three officers originally were not charged. But today, the Attorney General has come out with some decisions.
Yeah, actually, they're being charged as well and complicit in those charges. They idly stood by and allowed this to happen and did not necessarily come in and intervene as they should have. Obviously, if you've seen the video, if someone says that, I can't breathe under those circumstances, you have to at least lift up a little bit, right? You have to change something in order to give someone air, in a sense. So I think the fact that they were initially dismissed and not put on administrative leave, which is usually what happens.
Usually what happens.
So, they did that, and now all of a sudden the fact that they've changed the charges, but now have included the other three in this because they are complicit. Again, they stood idly by. The thing that bothers me probably more than anything as it relates to the police officers is the fact that, they're there to protect and to serve. And I get protecting their own. It's no different than being in the military, right? Under those circumstances. But you have to realize from a moral point of view, if someone is saying that, I would think that someone would step up and say, okay, let's handcuff him and let's put him up against the car or let's, right? I mean, there's no reason, 8 minutes plus to have your knee on someone's neck and them complaining that they can't breathe under those circumstances. And the thing that's unfortunate is that obviously police officers across the country are getting a bad rap in a sense based on this rogue officer, if you will. And that's unfortunate to think that they're grouping a whole profession of people, and hooking them up with this particular police officer and what his actions were, and that's unfortunate. And then, as you mentioned as well, the rioting and looting, that does nothing to honor the memory of Mr. Floyd.
No,
does not at all. You're taking it next level under those circumstances. Martin Luther King, I would like to have thought that we would have learned something from him and all the other peaceful protests that have occurred throughout history, in order to make positive change within our country. It's unfortunate that you have agitators and instigators, and obviously there's footage out there showing, when there are bricks, hey, come on down this way. And all of a sudden there are bricks there in order to throw those, a pallet of bricks, in order to throw those into businesses after COVID-19. That takes it to a whole nother level as well, as far as, people getting involved in doing those types of things.
Yeah, when you watch, and I've been guilty of this, I've had the news on almost 4 days straight now, watching all this unfold in front of us. Of an evening, it always gets a little bit more serious. Well, most places have curfews in effect. Now, if the protesters aren't violent, then why do you want to instigate issues if you're law enforcement? And we've seen it both ways. We've seen it where the law enforcement joins in, don't see a lot of problems, and we've also seen it where law enforcement goes in and tries to use. I'm not using bully tactics, but they've been using force and shows of force to move a crowd, and people are hit with either the shields or the batons, or pepper sprayed for really not much of a reason. And that causes some of these nonviolent protesters to defend themselves. And that's where you get into a little bit of a no-win situation. The protesters are there, and we watched it again. And I will say this one thing, and again, this is my personal personal comments on this. You know, last night when you saw the U.S. military being used to, was it not for last? Anyway, when the U.S. military was actually put into place in Washington and helped to clear a crowd, and I've been watching them for 2 hours, and they were just standing there doing absolutely nothing, and then they finally pushed them all back so that the president could walk across the street to the church. And that none of that needed to happen, because those protesters were not doing anything, but the president at a certain time was going to go to the church, and that had to be cleared. And the only way to clear that group was by the law enforcement, military, and the National Guard to become overly aggressive. And to me, that was a little bit overboard. Now, obviously, you've got to protect the commander-in-chief, and I will understand that. But just for walking across the street, I don't think that you try to maybe you go out and talk to them. Maybe you're well-protected. You go talk to the group and say, look, guys, we're doing all we can. That might have been effective. But just for the photo op going to the church, I think that was a little bit overboard politically.
I agree with you. I think under the circumstances, you cancel that.
Yes.
And let's deal with the current issue at hand, obviously with the injustices that many people feel are occurring. So therefore, let's address those issues as opposed to a photo op, in a sense. And realizing, again, as far as the circumstances, you can always go back and have those photo ops.
Yeah,
you can always go back and address whatever it is that you were set up to even do under those circumstances. But when emotions are high and people want their voices to be heard, that's the time to listen to them. And it's unfortunate that, you know, across the country and all of these cities that these things are happening. It's great to see, though, that there are peaceful protesters.
Yes.
I had this conversation with somebody just the other day. It amazes me that we can go to a ball game, pick any sport, and I can sit there with an African-American, an Asian, a Muslim, or whoever, and we can all high-five each other and get along and root for our team and get along and be friends, right?
Yes.
But at the same time, then you turn around and realize that things like this happen, and then it pits race against race in so many aspects of that. And even though most people I know are not racist, most people I know treat other people the way they want to be treated, regardless of color, regardless of anything, to be honest with you. Again, we can all get along, and it's unfortunate that things like this happen, and it seems like we can't get along, when in fact, in some ways, we do get along. Because I think most people do respect, we're all human beings. None of us had to say what color our skin was, hair color, eye color, any number of other, you know, factors that go into that. We didn't have a say in that. So therefore, we don't necessarily know the struggles that others go through. I can try to have an understanding of potential struggles, but don't understand unless I live that myself.
You and I will never understand what it's like to be in Black America. That's
correct.
Something that you and I will never do. And I have been really proud of the folks, and you look at these videos and these clips of the protesters. This isn't like an all Black event. This is everyone.
Americans.
Everyone included in this. And I haven't seen anyone really publicly come out and defend the police officers in this case. Now, a lot of times you can defend the police officers, but this one, if you watch the video from start to finish, there's nothing to defend what these guys did.
We all saw the same thing.
Yes, and you had three of these guys holding him down, one on his neck, one on his back, and one on his legs, and the other guy standing. And I think he was the one that they said, I don't think this guy is breathing. We need to roll him over. But the other said no. And to me, that is a problem. But again, if you don't jump in and say, look, guys, stop, get off, or I'm gonna move you off myself.
Correct.
Then you are still complicit. And as bad as I feel for the one guy who may have said something, who may be a younger police officer, the policy in Minnesota is, or at least in Minneapolis, the policy there is, if you see thing that is unethical or is wrong, you stop it. And that wasn't done in this case, which is why I was so commendable the other day when the police chief came on and when he talked to the Floyd family, took his hat off when he knew he was responding to the Floyd family personally, and that was through a CNN interview. And there was twice he referred to the Floyd family. Both times he removed his hat while doing so and said, "This is wrong. All officers were complicit. I fired them all because I thought they were all wrong." Everybody's seen the video. Like I said, I haven't heard anyone come out to defend the police officers. Pretty much, I don't think there's anyone out there. Or if there is, I haven't heard them. But most people are on the right side of this one, I think, and on George Floyd's side. But when you get into the rioters and the looters, especially the looters, they're just people who are going in and being take advantage of a bad situation. Some of that slowed down when the family got out and spoke a couple days ago. You people that are doing these things are going against what my brother would have wanted. And I think that slowed a lot of it down. But I also think some of these cities and municipalities have got together and said, okay, look, if we get in and push, we're also part of the blame. At the same token, you have to defend the business owners' properties. You have to defend people. We've seen police officers killed. We've seen security guards who have been killed during this. The person in Louisville was killed, I believe, a few nights ago.
Yeah.
So there's been deaths because of these things. You know, reckless driving through the streets. Just silly stuff. Officer was, I think, a pelvis fracture and a broken leg. He was ran over by a protester and several officers were hit, but he was, I think, injured the most. But those things are ridiculous, and these people need to be going to jail just the same as anyone else. If you can catch them, I think these are the people, this is the criminal element that we can get rid of, and that's fine. And I'm not mentioning race. This is everybody who's involved in this. This is, you know, if you're black, white, Hispanic, whoever does the looting and the stealing needs to be held accountable.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, again, to think that the rioting and looting have nothing to do with affecting positive change as far as the judicial system and or the mindset of some police officers and or racist for that matter. It doesn't change anything. And again, we're coming out of COVID-19 as far as things opening up. The business owners have already suffered enough financial loss. And even some of those businesses were owned and operated by African Americans. Mm-hmm. And then here you're doing it to your own community. Now, on one hand, where are you going to get things that you went to the Target all the time? Where are you going to be buying those things? I mean, they went to the post office. Now, how are you going to be getting your mail, in a sense, and other businesses like that? And to just burn those down and to loot and to take shoes and clothes and jewelry, and the list goes on and on. And I'm thinking, how do you go home with a 4K widescreen TV still in the box? Hey, look what I brought home. Like, how can you feel good about that, knowing that that's what you've done? I don't understand that state of mind in a sense.
I have no anything to feel for those folks, except it's wrong. And what happened to George Floyd was wrong, caught on camera.
And we all know it.
We all know
that. Yeah, we all know it.
If you're going to protest, which I believe you, and you're right to protest, but protest in a peaceful manner, be safe. And again, if you're out there, don't push the buttons that start the issues. But again, peaceful protest is the best thing that can keep going to make things better. But we've seen peaceful protests turn violent in the number of seconds, and both sides are to blame on this one. And again, just be careful if you're out there. Again, that's our little political speech on the because we would be really remiss not to mention the family. And again, keep those folks in your prayers. Keep all the folks out there who are hurting from the Floyd case. And they're talking about all the others. Again, let's keep them all in our prayers and thoughts as we go forward. We'll take another break. We'll come back with the KHSA updates here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you. Dealing with emergencies is never easy when they happen. It's important for you to know that you have someone in your corner. Whether you're facing a medical situation yourself or a loved one needs immediate care, we're here for you 24/7. Our emergency trained staff puts patients first and never forgets about the family, communicating every step of the way through rapid treatment. No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Got a little thing Ken wants to say to you guys.
Well, here, let's just say that the opinions expressed by David Faulkner and Ken Simon on this show do not necessarily represent those of the ownership or management of WSKV FM 104.9 or our sponsors. I don't feel like we necessarily said anything that, you know, would be controversial, but still, we've...
You know, these are our opinions. That's why we're on here. Again, we are a sports team, and we're bringing some political stuff. But again, I don't think of the George Floyd thing as a political thing. I think it is a travesty gone wrong, and it's something. Some things need to be talked about when you come on, and you have a audience that you can listen to here with the folks at WSKV. So, for those of you that tuned in to hear all sports, in the next 30 minutes we're going to talk sports with you guys. Specifically, we're going to talk about the KHSA, and Daryl, we talked to Daryl Billings a couple weeks ago, had him on here about what was going to take place, and he told us, well, he told me prior to that, they were having a meeting the next day, and from that meeting, the things that come out in the media are now out, and here are some things that we are going to talk about as far as the segments.
Well, and on one hand, too, that, you know, Daryl Billings being on the board of control for the Kentucky High School Athletic Association, so they met and created a framework, if you will, to return to activities like a protocol, in a sense, as far as some guidelines. Obviously, the CDC guidelines are still in effect, you know, for schools to consider. As far as social distancing, wearing masks, washing hands, sanitizing, cleaning equipment, all of those types of things. So, you know, basically they met in order to create this document to issue to their constituents, if you will, superintendents and various boards, districts, things along those lines, in order for them to begin to monitor and ways that they will, you know, kind of start to reopen using COVID-19, obviously, as the backdrop to this. So with that being said, there are obviously facilities that would need to be cleaned. I know, obviously, a lot of teams, I'm sure, are interested in getting into the weight room, you know, that off-season weight room. So, therefore, you know, when you're looking at that, things have to be wiped down. Things have to be cleaned. Again, you can only limit so many people that are actually in those facilities at a time. So, you know, you still have to keep the social distancing. So now all of a sudden, if you're lifting weights, well, I'm using this equipment. Well, I have to wipe it down before I use it. Then after I use it, I have to wipe it down and then rotate in unison. So those are things, obviously, that, you know, they're using as far as guidelines before people enter and exit. Obviously, you know, looking to check temperatures to make sure that someone is not necessarily having a high temperature over 100.4, I believe is what the number is. And then obviously limitation of the number of people. You know, if you're in a workout, a weight room or something, you know, you're limited to 5 to 10 people depending on the overall space. So let's say that, you know, if it is a small room and you can't fit, you know, 10 people in there using the 6 foot social distancing, you have to reduce it all the way down to 3 in theory, let's say, if that's the distancing for that particular space that could actually be had. So when you look at the spacing for the facilities, use of the facilities, and obviously the sports have to get approval from the districts in order to even use those facilities because they have to jump through hoops as well. But these are, again, just standard guidelines. Again, face coverings as far as using the mask, not necessarily if you're actually lifting the weights, but as soon as you're finished lifting the weights, again, using that as the example, you have to put your mask back on again, a cloth mask or whatever, in order to keep things safe. And then obviously just hygiene of washing hands, sanitizing, doing all these things that we already know. And then even as far as hydration and food, you know, it's not like all of a sudden you can have a bowl of nuts or something that are sitting there, peanuts or something for people to reach their hand into, individual packs and or individual bottles of water, no sharing of water, hydration, things along those lines. So those are kind of some overall guidelines that we already know exist through CDC, but things that districts are going to have to address going forward. And again, these are just the guidelines as far as what KHSAA has recommended as far as continuing to go forward with those particular guidelines.
Yeah, let me read you a little background here. And again, this document is on the KHSAA website. Just go to it and click on the link as far as what the 529 update, I believe, or
correct.
Anyway, yes. The top part talks about the document is intended to provide guidance for KHSAA member schools and affiliated member schools who consider stakeholders in designing return to activity protocols in accordance with the state and county restrictions. It allows for a coordinated reopening following initial stay-at-home orders and may also be used if conditions dictate the need for increased restrictions in the future. The document will be submitted for approval and return to work portal for the Commonwealth of Kentucky to ensure compliance with directives. That being said, this is a document that's put out in compliance with the governor of the state of Kentucky, the Kentucky Department of Education, and has been passed down to the schools. So those districts are allowed to choose whatever they want to do as far as use or not, when they want to be able to use or not. So basically, they can kind of either choose to use this protocol or choose not to at this time. Not knowing how, we'll just talk about Powell County, for example. You know, I don't know how Powell County is going to decide to move forward with this. Again, we've always talked about on here where we think safety is probably more prudent than not. But again, in the upcoming days and weeks, we'll know more about what is allowed to do. This is going to talk about, again, you know who the KHSA is, all that stuff, and then you know what COVID is. So that kind of gives you those guidance and considerations when it talks about what they're going to do. We're going to talk about some segments here. Segment one, the dates are June 1st to June 14th. And really, those dates are, I understand why those dates were put on there, but those were put on there, to me, kind of a little early, because it's very difficult for districts to make a decision on a guideline that was sent out, what, 3 or 4 days ago. I think last Thursday, these guidelines were set out by the KHSAA. Well, now boards of education have to meet to decide whether or not to open or not and put out their own guidelines. So I think the June 1 was probably a little early to put on here, but that's the date that KHSA decided to use. Anyway, June 1 to June 14 is gives you the parameters of what you can do. Again, then the segment two is June 15th to June 28th, unless further altered by the governor. Segment three was June 29th to July 12th, again, unless further altered by the governor. And segment four is July 31 to July 31, so that's a year.
July 13 to July 31.
I was a little bit, yeah. July 13 to 31. Now, this includes the old dead period. The old dead period has been waived.
Correct.
So, we are on a regular schedule, except for the two-week dead period. That's the simple part of this. Then it breaks down the KHSA additional guidelines, and it talks about low-touch, outdoor, baseball, bass fishing, cross-country, golf, softball, tennis, track and field. Those are your low-touch sports, and they've all got their own parameters on what you can do. We already know we've been, I guess, we've talked about this before, like your teams, they're not happening, at least at this point, like with baseball. No travel teams are out there until, because you can't play out of county. I don't know how far that goes, what the KHSA can or can't control, but it does kind of eliminate travel ball in Kentucky, at least for this time frame.
Well, no practice and no competition.
Correct.
During this segment one, you know, parameters within that. Again, that gets us all the way through June the 14th. So at this point, basically, you're not allowed to practice. You're not allowed to compete, including simulated competition. So you're not even able to do that. You know, you can have, again, this is KHSAA. This is not Powell County Board of Education, Estill County Board of Education, you know, any other Board of Education, because they have to decide what they want to do. But, you know, they're allowing coaches to have face-to-face contact with students. You know, you still have to practice the social distancing, things along those lines. Obviously, when we move into the second segment, and I would assume giving the Board of Education across the state to make those decisions as far as what they are going to allow or not allow within these parameters, then at that point, there will be, in that second segment, limited activities, in a sense. You know, there can be voluntary, you know, workouts, things along those lines, but still no competitions are even going to be allowed. And basically at that point, that second segment, more along the lines of conditioning. Obviously, you know, the concern of KHSAA is that these students have been off for several months now. We need to get them back in a healthy playing condition. So therefore, once you get into that second segment after the June 14th, so the 15th through the 30th, at that point, more conditioning that can begin to take place along those lines to get those students back into that physical shape that they actually need to be in order to compete. Because the last thing you want to do is all of a sudden to come back and now we're able to have full practices, you know, go completely at it, and all of a sudden have kids that are more gassed, you know, than they would be under normal circumstance, especially after many of them have probably, stayed at home playing video games, watching TV, whatever the case might be.
We'd like to read one exception as far as the first, for all the segments, or this is all the same for one sport. It talks about participating in bass fishing or other fishing events shall be governed by the governor's guidelines for conducting tournaments that is effective June 1 of 2020. And again, not necessarily knowing what all those are, I'm not going to get into that, but bass fishing is excluded. Now, I would have to think that still they would have to be under the guidelines of the Powell County Board of Education as far as what their bass teams do. But I think some of these, maybe you could be private entity, may be able to perform.
At that point, it's a little bit more different, right? At that point, all of a sudden, you're driving the boat, and yeah. I'm fishing off of that boat. And that maybe it's a father-son, father-daughter, you know, situation as far as that particular team on that particular boat.
Right.
So therefore, it's not like all of a sudden you've got four or five people on a fishing boat, and all of a sudden you're going to go out and you're going to conduct that. It's a little bit more limited contact, that kind of thing. So I think that's probably why there's that exception.
Well,
you know, to this.
In fishing, you're off on your own, probably two or three people in a boat, probably just two. If you're playing golf, you're playing as a group. You're probably on the tee at the same time. You're on the green at the same time. If you are, what's the other? If you're playing baseball, obviously, I know if you're going to touch some of the same bats, some of the same, you're obviously going to get the ball, and that's problematic. In softball is the same way. Cross country, you still have to be around people. You're taking off in groups, so you're going to have to be, you know, close together, and that is concerned. Tennis is a little bit different unless you're playing doubles. Playing singles, I think it should be okay. Doubles, you may have to be in close contact with each other. So I can see all that for all the events in track and field. Again, some of these are in the spring anyway, so it doesn't matter as much, but they all perform in the summer. Therefore, the guidelines are put out there. So, again, this is all based on the district making decisions. And, again, that's coming up probably soon, and we'll know more when that happens. Right now, we're going to take a break. We'll come more about the KHSAA updates here in a moment here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Roses Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. I do want to mention also there is a outdoor and indoor version of both these low-touch or high-touch sports. The low-touch indoor, which we have none of, archery, bowling, esports, and swimming or diving. We don't have any of those sports here in Powell County, but those of you out there, you have a few more restrictions as far as indoor sports are concerned. So, again, I would ask you to view this website to be able to see what your concerns are. The next versions go into high touch indoor that we're reading on here, and that includes basketball, competitive cheer, dance, volleyball, and wrestling. These really, I guess the main thing is most of these sports that you can have, conditioning or practice is not a requirement for any student to make the roster of a team.
Correct.
And it cannot be held against them for not being at these conditioning or practices if they choose not to go. So that being said, that to me, there lies a problem for these sports that are going to start up fairly soon, because if you don't know who's going to participate, how do you have a clue who's going to be on your roster if the students don't choose to go? And I understand why they wouldn't. I totally get that. But that does cause a problem as far as getting the team ready.
Well, maybe if anything, you express an interest to the coach. I'm interested, but I'm going to condition at home.
Yes.
Or I'm already conditioning, something along those lines, at least expressed some type of interest. I will say this, too, though. Not only will the boards of education be making these decisions, but they'll be doing so in conjunction with the local health departments as well, to make sure that, you know, they feel everything is safe. Obviously, things are going to be a little bit different in Fayette County, I would assume, than what we would have here, just based on the number of students, you know, potentially participating, the number of schools, obviously the number of COVID cases, things along those lines. So they'll definitely be, you know, working in conjunction with the Board of Education, or excuse me, the Health Department with the Board of Education.
I will mention that the High Touch Indoor, which is basketball, competitive cheer, dance, volleyball, and wrestling, which we have all those here at Powell County except wrestling, includes tryouts may be conducted virtually only with prospective member only for future cheer and dance squads. So cheer and dance have a virtual tryout that you can have, I guess, with new members is what it's looking like to me if I read it here. And that would start on the second segment, which is June 15th to June 28th. When you get down to high touch, that's where I was, never mind. When I get down to high touch outdoor, you're talking about field hockey, football, and soccer. Football and soccer we have here. We don't have field hockey, but it looks really, I guess the notes are June, the middle of the second segment. No rules in football, no rules are specified. Protective gear, helmets, shoulder pads, extra required gear may be approved to student athletes. So you can't pass out equipment. Was that the way I would read that?
Correct. One? Yes. Cannot.
Again, all the other additional guidelines will be beginning June 15th will be forthcoming. So really football, I don't see a lot of things that they can be able to do unless you're talking about the weight training, which we'll, I guess, delve into here in a few minutes. Again, still social distancing. Coaches may conduct activity that complies with governor's youth sport orders for this sport type. Involvement of students is voluntary without any repercussion. This is the same thing we saw in 1 and 2. When you get into the segment 3, again, the May 22nd youth sports guidelines and locally supplemented requirements. So, again, it gets back to the district level. And it says coaches may conduct activity complies with the governor's youth sport orders for this sport type, which I guess we need to get into that maybe next week about what the governor's guidance for youth sports is. So that may be a telling thing. If you look at just scroll down, Dave. Governor's classification for, I guess, low touch outdoor. It says it may presume practices without competition. Practices should consist of less than 10 athletes or fewer, with no more than one adult coach per group, while following the healthy at work social distancing guidelines for groups of 10 people or fewer. This is the June 15th to June 28th. Any individual is non-essential for the conduct. These practices should not attend. Obviously, it may the 29th to the 12th, July 12th, may resume competition with up to 50 spectators following healthy at work social distancing guidelines for a group of 50 or fewer. Competitions, practices, and other activities must adhere to the social distancing guidelines in the next section. So this put out, I guess, the governor's guidance. The June 15th to 28th has limited practices. And then the way I'm reading this, may resume competition with less than 50 people. That's the second phase of the governor's. Is that the way you read that?
Correct, yes.
So it looks like you're getting back to getting back to normal as far as the governor's office includes, but that still doesn't preclude a district level of going beyond and saying, okay, we're still not doing anything here. I'm not saying that's what Powell County will do, but the Powell County Board of Education has that option.
I think as well, though, it still goes back to that July 15th is a big date. I think at that point, potentially everything opens back up as it always would every season at that point to be able to have regular practices, equipment practices, etc. I think this time frame is more along the lines of let's condition, let's weight lift, and let's skill develop. And get some of those things to condition everyone for gameplay and or even when we're able to go full pads, that kind of thing, come July 15th or whatever it might be, at least even volleyball, soccer, to actually be able to do those things along those lines of as far as a normal summer going back into getting into things. So at least at this point, you know, you're still limited on what you can do, obviously pending board approval as far as what that they will allow.
Well, it goes on down when you talk about the high touch and talk about football in particular. It says it may resume team practices without completion. Youth participants should be subdivided into small groups of 10 or fewer with no more than one adult coach per group while following healthy at work social distancing guidelines for groups of 10 or fewer people. Any team or group that practices are limited to 50 youths or fewer.
And again, this goes through the July 12th or 13th time frame.
This is the secondary one. This is the one that's going a little bit later on. We're talking about June 29th to July 12th. So we're still at a practice are limited to low touch, medium sharing activities unless necessary to protect the health and safety of the youth participant. Multiple groups may practice but adhere to social distancing guidelines. I wonder if you're coaching, you keep the 10 together and you rotate the coaches around the 10. Would that be, I'm just asking you a question.
That would be my guess, and or let's use football as the example. Let's go offense, defense.
Right. Of 10 or fewer per group.
Yeah, I'm saying like at this point, okay, you know, give me the offensive line and over here, give me the defensive line. I'm realizing some players play both sides of it, but at that point, though, let's at least try and separate them out. And or, like you said, let's just separate them out. Maybe give him my seniors over here, my juniors over here, in a sense, and try and start spreading them out, especially at this point where you're just able to do skill development. You know, if you're doing football, okay, what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to line you up on the goal line, and I'm going to get you to run, you know, 10-yard sprints or something. You know what I'm saying? Just to kind of get your legs underneath you. You know, we're going to start doing some stretching. We're going to start doing some things that get you a little bit more limber and in shape physically in order to do that. And then once you're able to do the low-impact type of practices, under those circumstances, though, okay, one football. Now what? I'm using the same football with the quarterback and that particular receiver. Now I'm switching another one to the next receiver. I'm giving it to the running back. Like, because at that point, you have to start wiping down the balls and all of that.
I was getting ready to say, you could go into your skill groups. You know, receivers go one place, backs go one, your linebackers being a group. But everybody's in a group. But that would require you having a multitude of coaches.
Correct.
And if you don't have several coaches available, guess what? I mean, if you only got three coaches, let's say paid coaches, and you had no volunteers, that means you could only have 30 kids in unless you'd have to rotate times. This group's coming
True,
in from
right.
10 to 12. This group's coming in from 12, let's say 12, let's say 1 to 3, and give you the hour in between to take your time to clean everything up and get it ready for the next group, which makes it a little bit tougher on the coaches. But again, if you want to get it in, this is the protocol you're going to have to follow.
Well, and even volleyball is the example. So therefore, now you have, you know, your JV and your varsity teams in addition to, you know, freshmen at that point. Now, how all of a sudden are you working that with limited coaching staff, limited spacing in order to conduct those types of practices when you get into that? Again, these are just set in place in order to be guidelines. But once July 15th hits, I'm assuming it's back to normal.
As normal can be.
Correct. Now, let's not say you don't follow within the CDC guidelines and all of that, but I think at least at that point, you're getting back to some normalcy as far as what you're capable of doing. Even though it might be in smaller groups, you still might have to practice some social distancing, have one group on one end of the field or the court compared to the other.
I think that gets into the governor can make a change anytime that he needs to. Any of this stuff can be retro. They can change it at any time. So all these guidelines we just gave you can be changed tomorrow if we have another issue with COVID. So that being said, we got a couple more things we need to talk about here before we leave, but we're actually running long tonight. So we're going to take a break and come back and give you a few more minutes here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protex Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protex Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
Welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave Fodder along with Ken Simon. Again, we want to, wrap this up by kind of giving you a little bit of a, a synopsis of what we just covered.
Recap.
There you go. I couldn't think of the word there for a second. If you want to go to the website on the KHSA, just go to the KHSAA.org. On the first icon on the calendar, it shows you what their updates were. And if you're a coach, I would go read this document thoroughly. That what we gave you was a short little snapshot, which is not all inclusive of what's in the document. There's a whole lot more into the document, and I think if you're going to coach or play or be a parent, you need to at least read this document. Also, the document itself doesn't mean this is for everyone.
Correct.
Each local district will make a decision on what is available for the sports to do. So we'll make that clear about these are all under local purview, what they want to do. And again, this is all subject to change by the governor at any point in time. Secondly, this probably should have came first, but the live voting is taking place right now at the county clerk's office. Mondays, you can go in and vote from 10 to 6. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 9 to 4:30. And on Thursday, 9 to 12. Once again, Mondays, 10 to 6, for all you guys that work, back to work, you still got a little bit of time on Monday afternoons. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 to 4:30. And as normal, the courthouse being closed half a day, 9 to 12, you can go in and vote. So if you want to avoid the long line on June the 23rd, go in and vote now. If you didn't get a paper ballot, you're absentee. Go in and use your right to vote, and please do so. So, again, they are located at the county clerk's office at the Powell County Courthouse. All you got to do and to get your vote in is go in and vote on the paper ballot, which I am told is one of the most secure methods of voting that they have seen. It's new, and it kind of throws a little bit of wrench in the folks that think it's not going to be effective because it could be abused. The people working this are reliable, and they say that it really can't be manipulated in any way. So get out and vote. Use your right to do so.
And I would assume all the counties are offering something very similar. Yes. Obviously, just get in contact with the county clerk that you're living in a sense, and figure out what they're doing, because everybody's doing very similar things, again, in order to cut down the numbers that are showing up on June the 23rd to vote.
And I would take your mask in. They may have one there. I'm not sure what's required about the mask. I should have asked that question earlier. But make sure that you have your mask with you when you do go in to vote, because I'm not sure what the lines are going to be like or how many people are going to be in there. Then you obviously can't have more than 10 in an area, and there are four workers in the voting area. So you got the clerk space, and then you've got where the voting is taking place. again, we do want to reiterate, again, all the prayers and thoughts going out to the Floyd family, all those involved, and again, all those who have been affected by this, all the injuries that have happened in the protest all over the United States. And again, you have to feel for the Floyd family with eight minute and 46 second video of watching your loved one just pass away in front of you. That's just really hard to watch. And again, it's been shown several times, and probably way too many times. But again, there is an issue, and that needs to be addressed by someone, and probably a group of people, like our senators, our legislators, our governors, our president, our U.S. Senate, all those and all those offices are up to vote. So, again, if you want it fixed, I'd get out and vote for the person that you think can get it done. And that doesn't tell you how to vote. I'm just, if you have a person that you think that'll get it done, let's get out and vote for that person. So, again, those are the times and places you can get out and vote right now. If not, you'll be in one. I think it's at the middle school or the high school.
I'm not even sure.
I'm not going to say because I don't know where it's going to be. I think I know this, but I could be wrong, so I don't want to say.
We'll let everybody know next week.
We'll try to let you know next week and give you some more updates as we go. But again, thanks for listening to us here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. We'll see you next week with sports here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast.
FM 104.9 WSKV.
Welcome to the Tim White Bluegrass Show. From Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia, the birthplace of country music region, in the beautiful Southern Appalachian Mountains. For the next 2 hours, sit back and enjoy bluegrass at its finest. Old time, bluegrass gospel, comedy, and interesting interviews. And now here's your host, Tim White.
And a big howdy to you. Welcome to this week's The Tim White Bluegrass Show. I am your bluegrass buddy, Tim White.